welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
Palm Sunday. This is really the beginning of our countdown or the Holy Week to Easter. So hopefully you got your Hawaiian shirt going for you at home. I've already gotten a few pictures. Galvan family looking absolutely amazing. I just got an awesome picture of my kids and Aaron all dressed up with their Hawaiian gear. This is kind of a neat way to us to celebrate Hawaiian Sunday. Palm Sunday, as we get to wear the palms as we welcome our King. And so I want to welcome all of you who are at home watching. And it's been surreal. It's been another crazy week. But I am so excited that we get to really look forward to this time with you all. And so just a couple of things I've been sharing with you each week. I just want to say hi. I know Michelle, hi. Jim, how you doing? Nicole's here. Chelsea's here. Ruth, Amanda. Anahoy, good to see you. We have several others here. I know Carol, hi Carol, that my wife is watching. Hi honey, hi kiddos. Jackie and Danny, Jessica, Brian, Julie, Valeria, my mother-in-law Ginger, all here. Abby, so good to have you guys all here joining us. Make sure to comment. Let us know that you are here. Now, I know many of you are watching on TV and you're not commenting. You can get on your phone, and that way you can watch it, and then you can also comment along. On that comment list, we're also posting the points, the message, links for prayer requests and giving and all sorts of other things. So that is a neat way for you to engage during this time together. Like I mentioned last week, one of my favorite things to do every Sunday is to greet you all out front. And I am so missing that time with you all, but thinking and praying for you. Go ahead and share this YouTube link on your Facebook page. This is seriously the easiest way to invite people to church. And so make sure you do that. I know right now we have people from Arizona, Montana, and Oregon watching right now. So hello. So glad that you are joining us today. Again, sharing these links are just an incredible opportunity to share the hope of Jesus, especially during this Easter season, especially during this kind of unprecedented time that we live and exist in. We know that it's Jesus who saves, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings peace. And so we get to express that gospel message every day, wherever we're at, by simply sharing that link on your Facebook page. I want to also mention we have that Facebook group, so make sure you're a part of that. Just a great way that we get to stay connected and communicate and encourage one another. And then don't forget, if you've got kids at home, stick around right after our live service today. You can look at all the Kids Life video curriculum so they can have kids church right there in your home. And it's so much fun. Last week with the stuffed animal fight with the pillow shields, and it was so much fun. So make sure that you participate with that. It's seriously going to be a lot of fun. But before we get into things, I want to take a moment for us to pray over our finances, to pray over our giving, to pray over our jobs. I know many of you, some of you are still working. Some of you have been furloughed. Some of you have even lost your job. And so this is what we realize, that no corporation is our provider. No business is our provider. God is our provider. And that's why we give. That's why we dedicate our finances to the Lord. So just in this moment, if you could just right there in your home, and we're going to pray over your finances. We're going to pray over your job situation right now. And God, we thank you that you are faithful in every season, that nothing surprises you. God, we thank you that you provide all things. Lord, I pray for those who have lost their job in this season. Right now, in the name of Jesus, would you bring peace to their home? Lord, would you bring supernatural provision? Lord, would you even bring a confidence to ask for help? Lord, I pray over those who have been furloughed, who are just sitting in this unknown zone, who aren't quite sure when they're going to be able to return to work. And God, we also pray for those people who are doctors, our nurses, our grocery store workers, our retail workers, who are putting their lives on the line every single day, their own health on the line every single day. And so, Lord, we pray your peace. We pray your protection. We pray over them right now. God, we pray over our budgets. We pray over our finances, how we are giving today. God, would you use it to reach more people to expand and advance your kingdom? We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I know Shane's putting that link right there in the comment section where you can give online or you can mail in your giving, whichever way that is up to you. And we're thankful and just really it's just been blown away by your guys' continued generosity with that. So hopefully this week you received your Easter box. This box was dropped off, or maybe you came through our little drive-through and picked it up. I apologize to everyone who ordered fries and a shake. We were not able to provide that, but we were able to provide your Easter box. And so in this box, there's a lot of things in here. Now, the first thing is our Palm Sunday cross. So we're going to be utilizing this today. This is more for you to be reminded throughout the week. To be reminded today as we celebrate Palm Sunday that even as he is making this triumphal entry in Jerusalem, the cross was always the purpose. The cross was always what he was entering for, and we're going to talk about that today. So make sure you utilize that. You can put this outside your window or keep it in your home. Then today we have the Palm Sunday. Just a little flyer. Just tells you the kind of things that we want you to participate with using the hashtag Palm Sunday at the well, wearing your Hawaiian shirt, getting your communion ready. We're going to be partaking of communion together here at the end of the message. But inside of here also, we have a couple other things. The Good Friday pamphlet, we'll use that on Friday. We have the communion and service. Again, stuff that we're going to use on Wednesday, and those videos will be posted on our social media and instructions. But in there is also these Celebrate Easter cards. Everyone has about 3 to 5 of these. This is an invitation for you to just go to your neighborhood as you go on your walks to get some exercise and invite people to church. You can just put them in their mailbox, put them on their door. Either way, you can do that. We're also going to provide a social media one that you can sell, that you can utilize on your site there. But make sure these are really important this week as you walk around. Invite people to church for Easter Sunday. The flashlight and battery, that is part of our sermon illustration for next week. So don't put them in yet. Don't utilize it yet. Keep it in your box. And we'll give you some instruction on that Easter Sunday. I know some of you received a decal. And everyone received a You Are Loved or the Well balloon. Because every Easter, you got to have balloons out celebrating this huge party. So you can do that on Easter. Throw out your balloons. If you got helium, that's weird. I don't know why you have helium. But if not, you can put that out there outside your door, inside your house, play them, hit them around, all those good things. Like I said, some of you got You Are Loved decals. It's a great way to put on your car or just, you know, let people know that they're loved. But perhaps one of the most important, we wanted to hook you guys up. Now, it's not a roll of toilet paper, but if you know, you know. And you just, if you need it in that time where everything runs out, we want to make sure we helped you out there. We were going to put donuts in all the boxes, but we didn't know how long these things were going to be on the on people's porches because, you know, you got to have a donut wall on Easter. But you can go get your own donut. We didn't put one in there. I'm so sorry. It just make your own donut. I don't know. Just don't do the donuts. Made that mistake this week. So just really exciting to spend time with you this Easter week. Let's get into the message. We are continuing our series in the book of Acts, and we learned that the book of Acts is designed to inspire you and I to act on the promises and the teachings of Jesus. And this is so essential, especially in this season where God is doing something new. God is doing something different. Let me rephrase that a little bit. Circumstances around us are different. And because God is moving in us, we get to respond with hope and not with despair. God's called us to act. He's called us to move. And not just off anything, but based off the promises and the teachings of Jesus. Now, like I mentioned before, and why I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and excessively bright today, is today's Palm Sunday. Now, Palm Sunday is the celebration of Jesus coming into Israel's capital, Jerusalem, where he is coming in this kind of a very similar to what a king would do, is palm branches are being laid down to represent his royalty, but he rides in on a donkey. Not normal. He has no grand parade, but people are shouting Hosanna in the street. They're saying this, the king has come. Now, when you have a king, people are saying that this king is coming into the capital of your country. That's something that you're going to take notice of if you're the governing government, because there's only one king, that's Caesar. There should be no other king. But what's interesting, in about less than a week from this grand celebration, Jesus is going to die on a cross, a criminal's death. And so it's a very interesting juxtaposition that we're going to see here between this week with a royal entry to the death of a criminal. And that's what we're going to take a look at, because not only does it affect Jesus in this time, but it's also going to affect us. It's going to affect his followers, and we're going to look at how that affects Paul in the book of Acts. And that's what Palm Sunday is so interesting, because it's a celebration, but at the same time, it's a celebration almost before a funeral. It's the same people who cheered Hosanna in the highest are going to be the same people that shout crucify him. Something happened. Something changed. People had an understanding and a preconceived idea of what Jesus is and was and should be. It wasn't Jesus who was shouting king. It was a crowd. See, a lot of times people have this expectation. Of, I don't know if you've seen the Aladdin movies, whether the cartoon or the live action, when Prince Ali comes into Agrabah, and it's Prince Ali, fabulous, it's just crazy. And like there's elephants and fire throwers and jumpers and like sword thrower things. And like the genie's like going out, and there's this huge spectacle to try to impress Jasmine. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy, Prince Ali. That was the expectation of the coming Messiah. But here we have Jesus on a donkey. No parade. No monkeys jumping around. No sword throwing. No grandstand performance. But simply Jesus coming in. And so what I want to ask ourselves this question before we dive into Acts chapter 21. You can start turning there. Is because these people had such a different expectation what Jesus should be and should be doing. When that expectation wasn't met, their first inclination was to turn against Jesus. So my question for you and I, if you really think honestly, what is your expectation of what Jesus should be doing right now in this season? Is it meeting your expectation? Are you disappointed on Jesus' action or inaction right now? Are you frustrated or that Jesus hasn't just come down and cured this virus? Are you dealing with anger with God right now because of different things that are going on in your life? Now that you're aware of your expectation, how did you respond? Did you walk away from him? Are you responding in anger? Are you just distancing and saying, hey, Jesus and I are on a break right now? Because expectations weren't met. Because it's important for us to really grab a hold of what we are going through and processing for us to really allow God's word to speak to our heart right now. Because it's not going to do any of us any good if we just lie and say, no, I have enough faith. No, I believe God is. He does all things for our good. I want you to be honest. Because when we begin to be honest with our thoughts and our feelings, especially today as we talk about suffering, those are the times when God can come in and touch. Are we shouting Hosanna because we think Jesus is going to do something that's going to benefit us? And are we going to be okay if Jesus does do something and it doesn't benefit you? Are we willing to see Jesus' plan to point A without being led into what point B is? Are we willing to be more concerned about his will than our will? So in Acts chapter 21, we come across this scene where Paul has been teaching the gospel all over the region. He's been arrested. He's been beaten. He's been ostracized. But the church continues to grow and grow and grow. That's why it's so neat. In uncertain seasons, the church is always going to grow. There's nothing that can prevent the kingdom of God by advancing. And we come across this point in verse 8. It says, on the next day we departed and came to Caesarea. And he entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven. He stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came from Judea. So we got some pretty high rollers here, right? These are some pretty holy people. Prophetess, guy who calls himself Philip the evangelist, another prophet. He coming to us, he took Paul's belt. He bound his own feet and his hands. So he took Paul's belt. He bound his hands and his feet. And he gives this prophetic word. Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man whose belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard this, and the people then urged him not to go to Jerusalem. So the saying is, Paul is going to be bound in Jerusalem. If he goes, this is a word from the Lord, prophetic word from the Lord. Paul, you will be bound. You will be subjugated. And the people heard that and say, hey, Paul, you can't go to Jerusalem. Don't go to Jerusalem. No, you're going to be bound. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be attacked. That's not going to be good news for you if you go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered this, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready to not only be in prison, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. And after these days, we got ready and we went to Jerusalem. See, Paul is now in this very similar place that Jesus was in. Jesus understood as he is coming into Jerusalem that he would suffer on the cross. Jesus knew marching into the capital was not going to end well for him. Paul is now receiving prophetic words saying, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, it's not going to end well for you. But both have the same response. Not my will, but God's will be done. Paul knew that God was sending him into Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit didn't tell him no. He just said, be ready. And I think there's a lot of times where that's what the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He says, hey, something difficult is coming. I need you to be ready. And our temptation is to go, well, then take it away. If you know that something difficult is coming, just take it away. And so what we often do is we ignore the Holy Spirit and just pretend nothing's going to happen. Or we get fearful. Again, these were great godly people surrounding around Paul and giving him good advice. But we have to discern and determine what is the will of the Lord. See, being a Jesus follower is not about escaping suffering. Being a Jesus follower is about learning how to suffer well. Because you and I, we're all going to face some sort of suffering. Now, there's different degrees. There are those who are struggling through this virus who are suffering physically. There are families who are struggling because finances have been lost. There are moms and dads struggling because now not only do they have to work from home, but now they are homeschooling. There are grandparents suffering who you've been looking forward to your grandkids and now you can't see them. There are people who are suffering because they don't have anyone at home with them. They're isolated. not just physically, but emotionally. There are those who struggle with depressions and anxieties and other struggles who are suffering in this season. And it would be a temptation in us as a church to go, oh, we're just going to celebrate King Jesus. But I think if we do, as we should, we miss the point of what Jesus is teaching us in this season. And so what I want to talk, I want to give you 3 points in how do we suffer well. Because as Jesus begins his process to the cross, you and I are in the midst of it. So number one, write this down in your notes. We'll put the points right there. It says, we cannot avoid suffering. Can't avoid it. Many of you have tried. Sometimes when we try to avoid suffering, we actually make it worse, right? You've done that, been there. But we can't avoid suffering. And this is why. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God said, hey, don't eat from that tree, because you will not only have the knowledge of good, because they already had the knowledge of good, they have the knowledge of God. God created all things, and each time he said it was good. He says, but if you eat from this tree, you're going to have the knowledge of not just good, but of evil. Now, the enemy came in and it kind of manipulated the situation, and Eve and Adam made their decision, and now we are a product of their decision, just as many of us are products of our parents' decisions. They are our first parents. Now we're at a place where we have now the knowledge of good and evil. We have all experienced love, but you've also experienced heartbreak. You've experienced anticipation and hope, but you've also experienced disappointment. We now live in this world of good and evil. Suffering is a result of the evil in the world. Evil equals death. Suffering is a part of that death. Now, there's physical death, emotional and spiritual death that we all experience at some sort of level. But this is that evil that we experience. But this is something I want us to really understand. When we see the suffering that's happening around the world, when we see disease and famine and war and these things, we have to recognize that that is evil. That is not God, because God is good. We are not experiencing the wrath of God. Because what we're going to see on Easter, all of the wrath of God, all of God's punishment toward evil was put on Jesus on the cross. Now, we experience a result of sin in the world, things like erosion and our own, we have a natural inclination to evil. But we now have a choice because of Jesus. So when you look at everything in the world, can I implore you to remind yourself, God is good. God is the good in the equation of good and evil. So what happens is in our pursuit to avoid evil, what we do is we numb ourselves. We numb ourselves through addiction. We numb ourselves through alcoholism, through drugs, through shopping, through overeating. You fill in the blank for how you try to numb your pain. But the problem is when we begin to numb our pain, we numb the evil, we end up numbing the good as well. So in our pursuit to avoid evil, to avoid suffering, we find that we avoid the good. That's why alcoholism destroys families. That's why these different types of addictions, they isolate you. They take you away from not only the bad that you are avoiding, but it takes you away from the good that you had in your life. We cannot avoid suffering. I love something that author Bob Goff says. He says, what brings us to tears will lead us to his grace. Many of us have not allowed ourselves to experience the grace of God because we're afraid and we hide it. We hide ourselves from him. Can you imagine if we stopped hiding? Can you imagine if we stepped away and thinking God was evil and recognizing that he is good, that we ran to him when we were in trouble? The grace and the peace and the mercy that we would experience. I love this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It's a reminder for you and I when we want to avoid our suffering. It says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And if any of you at home right now who need to be restored, who need to be confirmed, who need to be strengthened, who needs to be have a new foundation, can I implore you to turn to the grace of God? Implore you to turn to the goodness that is God, the God of all grace. In your suffering, in your hurt, in your pain, don't avoid it. Bring it to him. Bring your broken pieces. Allow him to do a work in you. Number two, we cannot allow ourselves to suffer alone. Can't do it. I know when we get hurt, when we get pain, there's some of us that we like isolate ourselves, and there's some of us who just have to tell the whole world that I'm in pain. There's something kind of in the middle. Again, balance is good. There's something there in the middle that is we can't isolate ourselves, but at the same time, we can't shout it from the mountaintops. We need to surround ourselves with people who are going to encourage us. We need to surround ourselves with people who are going to be there with us, because we are better together. We're designed to live in community with God and with people. It's part of who you are. It's the same way, as much as you need to eat, is you need to be in community. You need to be with people. God said at the very beginning that mankind is not, it's not good for man to be alone. And at the end of the day, at the end, when we read about heaven, it's filled with all tribes, all nations, all languages, all people. The church itself, in the middle between the beginning and end, is a community of people. We cannot isolate ourselves, even in the midst of social distancing. It would be easy to sleep in till 2 in the afternoon, go to bed super late, and avoid Zoom calls, avoid texts, avoid phone calls, all those things. But we can't live that way. That can be a season. There's a difference between isolation and solitude. Solitude is you take a season of time to be with Jesus. Isolation is you just collapse into yourself. So two things that I want you to do in this season of social distancing and isolation. Reach out to other people. Reach out. Don't wait for other people to reach out to you. Because the very person that you may be waiting to reach out to you could be in a place of isolation where they don't feel like they have the strength to do so. So reach out. Then the other big thing, allow yourself to be reached out to. This is going to take some humility. But it's okay to say, I'm not okay. It's okay to cry with someone on the phone. It's okay to let them in on the things you're thinking, the things you're worried about, the things you're uncertain, because I can guarantee more than half of us are saying, yeah, me too. Do you have any thoughts or ideas? Because I'm going crazy. We need to reach out and allow ourselves to be reached out to. One of the things I love, we're looking at Jesus and Paul's example. We're going to see in this Holy Week, Jesus, when he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he needs his friends around him. And he gets so frustrated because they're asleep. He goes, can't you just stay up with me for this little bit, this 1 hour? Could you not just be with me? I love, in Paul's writing, he ends so many of his letters greeting the community that's around him. Even those who are far from him. Even when he's in prison, he's saying, hey, can you send Timothy to me? Hey, can you tell this person that I'm thinking about him? Hey, he's just constantly networking. Even when he's in prison, from Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, and Titus, all whether he's traveling or house arrest, Paul is seeking out community in some way because he knows he can't suffer alone. And neither can you. We can't suffer alone. So even in this chat that's happening right here, reach out. Hey, can someone call me? Can someone text me? Submit a prayer request. Do something that reaches out so we can be in contact with you, so that all these amazing people who are watching and participating can build that community around you. We need one another. And number three, I don't know about you, but if you've ever asked yourself, whether you've been sick, you've gone through tragedy, you've gone through loss, and you just kind of go, what's the point? What's the point? Why do I have to hurt this way? Why do I have to feel this way? Why do I have to go through this? Can't this just stop? I want you to write this third point down over and over and over again if you need to. But it says this, our suffering is never wasted. And this is why it's so important that we don't avoid it. This is why it's so important that we stay in community, because our suffering is never wasted. See, we have a God who takes death and turns it into resurrection. We have a God who takes from mourning to dancing. Or this incredible song that just got released and that I've been listening to and over again. It's called, I want to make sure I get it right, Graves into Gardens. We have a God who turns graves into gardens. We have a God who turns pain into lesson, into wisdom. That is why we can rejoice in all things. That's why when the Bible says rejoice in all things, we go, really, why? Do I have to? Because God can take whatever we're mourning, every tear, every anxiety attack, every death we experience, because he uses all things for his good. In Romans 8, verse 20, it says, and we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called to his purposes. And this is a great thing. His purpose is for people to come to know him. That doesn't change. I can even reflect on my own pain and suffering that I have gone through throughout my life in different aspects. And God has been able to use it to bring hope to other people. And I'm sure there's something so powerful when you can listen to someone go, yeah, me too. I felt that. I experienced that. It does get better. Hey, here are a couple things that I have done to help get it better. Because God doesn't waste any of our suffering. In Romans 5, chapter 3, it says, more than that, we rejoice in our suffering. What? Rejoice in our suffering? Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. Do you catch that? Our suffering creates and builds hope. Not only in ourselves, but in other people around us. In our circles of influence, we become beacons of hope because we allowed ourselves to suffer in a season of suffering. Isn't it powerful that just as much that God will use his son who suffers on a cross for you and I for our salvation, that he will use all of his sons and daughters and not waste any of our suffering because he loves his people that much. Because God is the good in this equation. God is the good in this equation. If you have to repeat that over and over, God is the good in our equation that he can turn and make all things. All things work for our good according to his purposes. Another verse in Romans says, for I consider the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. God is doing something in you. Right now, wherever you're sitting, in your living room, whether you are 4 years old, you are 10 years old, you are 18 years old, you're 16 years old, you're 20 years old, you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s, it doesn't matter. God is doing something in you in this season. And the suffering does not compare to the glory of what he's doing in your life right now. It won't. It will be worth the wait. And this is what he does at communion. This is a message that Jesus gives his disciples. When he says, do this in remembrance of me. If at home you have your communion elements, I want you to go ahead and get those out. Today I have my Christian fish cracker my goldfish cracker and is practicing righteousness with the Honest Kids fruit drink. So that's exciting. This is my communion today, and hopefully you have it there. But this is what's powerful. When Jesus is sitting with his disciples, he tells them, he goes, I'm going to go suffer. But when I eat with you again, it's going to be something different. It's going to be something powerful. He says, though I have to suffer, though I'm going to be broken, there's something good that's going to come out of this. And the good that came out of Jesus' suffering was salvation for all mankind. What good came out of Jesus' suffering is so that you and I can have relationship with God again. What good came out of his suffering is that we can now restore relationship with those people around us. So even in this very moment, as we take communion together, I invite you to take the bread that represents his body that's been broken for you, so that your suffering and his suffering is not wasted, but used for God's glory. Now I encourage you to take your juice. The juice represents the blood of Jesus that was poured out for you and I. That this gift of salvation costs something. And that's the suffering. But you and I drink it in remembrance, knowing that though we deserved to experience the fullness of suffering, instead we get to experience the fullness of grace, forgiveness, and mercy, and hope. So in this moment, you would drink some juice. And in your home, if you could just lift your hands to the Lord. I just want you to take this time before we go into worship. Just kind of clear your mind and your heart of things and just focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our teacher, our friend, our hope. Jesus, we thank you. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you in this season that we are in uncertain times, Lord, that you meet us exactly where we are, right there in our homes, right there in our cars, right wherever we may be. God, we thank you that you sacrificed your son for me, for us. God, would you remind us that our suffering is not wasted, that we cannot avoid it. God, we thank you for the friends and family that you surround us with. Lord, I pray for those who are feeling lonely right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let this communion time remind them that they are never alone. They're in relationship with God, in relationship with their church family. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. Well, let's continue this attitude of worship. And let's just take this time as we worship the Lord together through song. We just continue to reflect on who he is. Begin voicing all that he is. Make your praises known. Make them loud. Let's worship the Lord. After we worship together, we'll come back. We'll finish together. So let's worship together.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.